You are listening to the Enziguri Podcast, new weekly episodes.
And Marks of the Roundtable.
Every pay-per-view on SoundCloud.com.
Yeah.
Very grateful for tonight, for Arnold, for the WWE, who sees me worthy of this honor, and the opportunity to have appeared in Madison Square Garden one more time. I'm very grateful for that. But most of all, I want all the fans, whether in this country or around the world, if this gets televised everywhere, that whatever success I've had, I owe it all to you, because if you didn't come out and support me the way you did, I would have never become anybody. So I thank you. I thank you for the support and the kindness you showed me for all these years. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you, and God bless all of you. Thank you.
Welcome to the Enziguri Podcast. I'm your host, Fran, along with JCL. Tonight we got news, reports, and much more.
We record?
Dave's not here. He's always wanting to start things off.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I can do it. I've heard him do it before.
What's going on, JCL?
Not much, Fran. How's it going with you?
It's going great. I want to play some Fortnite.
Of course you do.
Of course you do.
So on tonight's episode, we have Haystack Hastings, who is on his phone right now.
What's going on, guys?
How much?
Yeah.
And we also have the man so dedicated to the show that he drove here on a flat tire.
And will more than likely drive home on a flat tire.
Yeah, we'll be driving home on that flat tire.
What's going on with you? How have things been?
Very good. I can say this, and I can say this on the air, right? Fuck Amazon.
Yeah.
That was not my opinion. That was his, and he doesn't work there anymore.
No, I don't. I have a better job called TD. I take care of people's taxes in the bank, so call me Erwin R. Scheister. And it is tax time,
people. That's your new name now on the podcast. You're IRS.
Yes.
He is
DRS.
Deal. There we go!
He is Dave Scheister.
David R. Scheister.
Pay up, people, because you got till midnight. If not, I'm coming to audit you.
Walker R. Scheister.
I like D.R. Scheister better.
Yeah, D.R. Scheister.
I'll pay the interest. I got a tax. Whatever. I'm like Donald Trump. I get an extension on my taxes.
Alright, so what do we
I'll look out for you, bud.
So what do we got tonight?
So let's start things off with Bruno Sammartino.
Yes.
Yeah.
God rest the soul of that man.
Yes.
A lot of memories for me with my family and growing up with my father and watching that with my father and my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Watching some of the great matches he did with, you know, Harley Race and Hans and Koloff, and even he did quite a few good matches with Savage, early Savage.
Mm.
probably one of the best cage matches that everybody needs to go check out is between him and Lou Albano. That was actually a surprisingly good cage match.
Was that better than the... What about the one with Zbyszko?
Yeah, I was going to say, what about his Raw?
Because that's the one that most people talk about.
From my standpoint, the cage match, the work itself, the Lou Albano match is probably better. But the whole run of matches with Zbyszko was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But the cage match was a cage match. The one with Albano was a lot better, in my opinion, for that itemizing a specific match. But he had a hell of a run with Ivan Koloff back in the day. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's unfortunate because a lot of people view it with his run of his matches with Randy Savage. He really didn't want to be in the industry. It was really just, you know, because of his kids. Because his kid, David, was finally getting a push, getting into wrestling.
Yeah.
And he really did those matches as kind of a favor to the McMahon family to, you know, get his son in there. And he did the matches with Randy. But truth be told, you know, Randy, unlike Hogan ever would have, Randy gave respect and actually jobbed for those matches. Instead of Randy, who was hot at the time, winning them. Because you're talking This was 86, 87, 88, when Randy was really starting to come into his own.
Yeah,
and San Martino was already being still taking the L.
Yeah, for San Martino.
For San Martino, because, you know.
He had a lot of respect for him.
Well, I mean.
It's an understatement to say that.
Just a prolific wrestler in and of itself.
Yeah.
I mean, the move list nowadays is a lot more extensive for a lot of the wrestlers today.
Yeah.
I mean, some people will comment, you know, because a lot of the videos you can see in the 70s and 80s are still available. You know, where it's just he kicks, he punches, he stomps, he pins. That's it.
Yeah, but back in the day, he bought legitimacy.
Well, but not only did he bring legitimacy, but also, if you can find, which there are very few, like him with, you know, Classy Freddy Glassy, where he wrestled, and you could see, because he injured himself in like 68 or 69.
Mm-hmm.
That
was the back injury.
He was a pop wrestler. You know, he was fast. He was prolific. With the back injury, he had to go to more of a strong style, more strongman style, which he still made work. But, I mean, like when you think of him, it's like him and Andre, for me, growing up, watching those matches were like two of the end-all be-alls.
It's an understatement to say that he was the perfect wrestler at the perfect time during the 70s.
Absolutely, and he had that true Greco-Roman style behind him,
mm-hmm.
Which it was the entire reason why I got into wrestling, period. To where I found, you know, watching the stuff back in the late 80s and early 90s, finding, you know, the Four Horsemen and finding the Legion of Doom and Demolition.
Like, honestly, I don't think, if it wasn't for San Martino, wrestling as a whole probably wouldn't even be as popular as that is.
Truth be told, him, Gagne, and McMahon Sr. I mean, those are the three that pushed, well, and, I mean, have to give props to Andre, obviously, but he was a big draw any coastal region he was in.
Something else that you could say. How many wrestlers can say that Arnold Schwarzenegger looks up to them?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, even...
Anytime that Schwarzenegger talked about him, it was always very positive remarks.
Well, he respected him. And, you know, you're talking about a time when, you know, there was no drug use.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd get popped for something like that, it was disrespectful, and it would be the end of your career.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you go back and you look at San Martino, and you can't tell me that man... He was solid. He went to the gym every day and worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, even up until recently, he was still a big guy.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was still...
He was billed at 6'2" or 6'3", which for the 60s was a pretty tall guy in and of itself. But when you look at him, I mean, they billed him lighter than he actually was in a lot of cases in a lot of the regions. I mean, he was stacked. He was, you know, 240, 250 at 6'2", but solid. And he was the big man before there were big men. I mean, now you have guys like Braun Strowman, which is just genetically gifted human beings. Yeah. And I guess I had to throw Lesnar in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he was the true powerhouse when that wasn't a thing, when you had guys like, you know, Gorgeous George and Classy Freddie Glassy.
Mm-hmm.
Hans Strowman, you know, people like that, where it's just, you know, you had these tiny guys that would wrestle, and then you had somebody like that. Even Greg Gagne was tiny compared to somebody the size of Raw.
One of the other things is that, fortunately for WWE's sake, that they were able to get on good graces with him while he was alive, instead of a lot of cases where, Warrior, they were doing okay, and then he passed away. It was just really weird timing. But a lot of cases, like the whole thing with Randy Savage, where he should have been one of the first people in the Hall of Fame.
He should have been in the Hall of Fame longer, but we all know because of rumors and innuendo.
So, I mean,
well, it's just
all the communication with Triple H, and, you know, people want to... There's certain things you could criticize about him, but there is a lot of good things that he does, so...
Yeah,
not just a little.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's... San Martino as a whole is just a super, totally respected guy, outside of being a wrestler. Like, his, you know, coming at his, like, you know, his origin.
Well, yeah,
like,
he was one of the guys where, regardless of what WWE would say, people are still going to look at him, you know, as one of the Mount Rushmore guys.
Yeah.
So,
like founding father, baby.
Like, at least, like, you know, back during his time period, he was, in a sense, basically the American dream. Like,
yeah.
He had a guy that came from like post, like what, World War One, World War Two?
Yeah, World War Two.
World War Two.
And like Nazi Germany and all that came to America and basically got his start, you know, as a wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, to me in that era, you know, the four poignant wrestlers were him, Andre, Gagne, Greg Gagne, and I mean Freddie Glassie. I mean, we would not have Ric Flair and Orndorff without Classy Freddie Glassie. I mean, a lot of people, I know they watched the Attitude Era and the PG Era, but it's sad that a lot of people don't go back and they watch a lot of these old matches. And a lot of these old matches are on YouTube. You can find them. I mean, look up, you type in, you know, Bruno Sammartino in YouTube, and you can find half his wrestling catalog on YouTube right now, full matches.
Mm-hmm.
And people have no idea who he is. It's really unfortunate because...
There was a comment that, I don't know exactly how Scott Hall put this, but he was talking about, like, when he was talking about training his son and everything and telling him to look at the old tapes. He says, the thing about the old school matches is that they were from so long ago, and a lot of people don't look into them, that style is new.
It's stuff that
if they were to do it now, I mean, in some case, I mean, especially in, like, certain aspects, I mean, there's a... People would say that, like, yeah, as far as, like, the athleticism and, like, you know, move sets and everything, but as far as, like, other aspects, that there's a lot of things that current wrestlers should be looking at, so...
We have to think about it, you know, wrestling that we know today, that era is essentially wrestling is in its infancy, being a child. I mean, that's like the golden era of wrestling, and there wasn't... That was when the pile driver was a huge move. Yeah. And nowadays, everybody does a pile driver, if you're allowed to.
Yeah.
Like, the pile driver is just a move now. But you're talking about when the clothesline or the bear hug. I mean, God, you had guys like Killer Koloff that would, you know, sit there and do the claw or the bear hug, and it was important.
It's back when moves mattered.
Yeah.
Because if you actually did it to somebody, it would do something. Instead of somebody at WrestleMania taking six F5s
for their jobs. I'll say it right now. With the moveset that they had back in that era of wrestling, there were better sellers then.
Yeah.
Than there are nowadays. Yeah. I mean, you have some good sellers nowadays. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But I mean... All this crazy nonsense with, and I mean,
high spots and all that.
Like, for instance, Ember Moon's move.
The eclipse.
I mean, all right, it's impressive. Anybody really going to sit there and believe that?
No.
You know, and I'm not knocking her. I mean, she's a hell of an athlete. Yeah. But
true. But then there's the flip side with, like, San Martino's, like, Canadian backbreaker.
Well, and the DDT.
Yeah.
The DDT, you could seriously injure somebody, and as we've learned with the pile driver through various instances, the pile driver could potentially kill somebody.
Yeah, it has.
And,
if not paralyzed.
Yeah. You've got all these crazy ass, I love Balor, but I mean, his coup de grace is fucking stupid.
It is.
I mean, it's a two-fisted, a two-footed curb stomp.
That's basically what it is. Like, a double stomp with the gut.
Cool, okay.
That's basically because they stopped letting me use the brain buster, though. Which was a lot more effective.
Oh, yeah.
Best brainbuster go.
Guerrero.
Oh, fair enough. I'll give it to you.
That's no argument there, man.
This is where WWE seems to want to kind of bring back some of the older moves. Because people would say, okay, so Strowman just doing a power slam, that's all it is. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, but when it comes from a guy that big, it's just the fact that, like, people have been so spoiled with all these fancy finishers. It's something that simple. It doesn't seem.
But I would love if they took somebody like Strowman and really pulled it back. I mean,
like, just
could you not believe that if Strowman got you in a bear hug, that it wouldn't hurt?
Of course.
I mean, and that whole, like, have you ever realized that we don't do, or in wrestling, there's no longer those old school sells.
Yeah.
There's no longer the lifting the hand to see if the person is out for the count.
Well, it's because Taz. Like, did the... Who was it? Was it Taz that started the whole, like, tap out gimmick? because that was whole, that was like MMA inspired.
Well, that was Taz, that was the entire yes with Taz, but no, not necessarily because a lot of the MMA Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gimmicks were brought in more than just ECW. Yeah. But I guess he was probably the one that most people would remember.
Yeah, because that's when the tap and out started.
Yeah, but when right you think about that, it, that's when the tap out became instead of like them just like saying, you know,
they left in the arm three times.
But like Nikolai doing the bear hook.
Yeah.
The Russian bear hook.
Yeah.
Like they used to do it back then.
Yeah.
Like when I mean, I guess no, not Taz, because you're talking about guys further back that would do the sleeper hold. Yeah. How long has the sleeper hold been around?
A long time.
You know?
Been using it for a long time. Piper's used it.
But long before Ted.
Yeah. Piper's done it. DiBiase did it. Sergeant Slaughter.
Long before that.
Yeah, long before that.
I mean, you had guys like Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
And well before that, that would use the sleeper hold.
It's just like
Dolph used it a while back early on.
Dolph doesn't have his own gimmick. He's got to steal from other people.
Yeah, he does.
Here's a question before we move on. The so who started the overselling from like the old school? Was it Kurt Hennig? Because he was the one that was always like flipping himself
on
his head.
That's a toss up. I mean, Henning's probably the most notable and overselling when you look at it as really making it convincing. That's who comes to mind.
And a good but, I mean, then you have, too.
But then you have overselling by, like, you know, like, perfect example, the Shawn Michaels Hogan match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's overselling. Yeah. That's well above and beyond what Henning ever did.
Yeah.
So it just, I guess it depends on what you mean by selling. But
Michaels in that match was doing everything like it was Mr. Perfect's biggest oversell.
It was great. It was.
But people
really trying to take Hogan down a peg and just exposing him for what he really is, which is a joke.
Yes.
But that's what made the match entertaining at the same time. When I remember when I was watching, I said, "This is fun."
Yeah.
You know, and everybody was like, "He's giving him shit." It's like, maybe, yeah, but it's still fun.
Well,
to
he's
watch.
Making it's making Hogan look like a joke.
Yeah, that's what basically Shawn Michaels was doing.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Which worked.
And it made the match that much better.
I just get so tired of people saying Hogan's the greatest wrestler ever. Oh my God.
He's not even on my, and we were talking about this.
He's not even in my top 10.
No.
Yeah. He's definitely not on the Mount Rushmore. If we're talking about a Mount Rushmore of all wrestling, Hogan's
but wait a minute, guys. He slammed Andre, along with like 15 other people.
Oh,
but he slammed Andre.
Yeah, everybody said he's the first to slam Andre first. Because
Harley Race did it.
Yeah.
He had a ton of overseas guys that did it back when he was over in, you know, the Japan.
Yeah.
There wasn't even Japan back in the day, but I mean.
I know.
Superstar Shakedown from Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
SmackDown made out on
SmackDown made better.
Lucked out.
Like the only thing I think they lost out on was the jobbers.
Yeah.
It's like, this is how it is for them. It's like, SmackDown has the, like, I can think of so many good matches from SmackDown.
SmackDown looks like it's going for the Ring of Honor style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like SmackDown is going to be like the...
Which I'm totally okay with that.
Yes.
And whereas Raw is just like, let's put all the heel mid-cards to make Roman look better.
Yeah.
Or people that Braun Strowman can squash.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah, because basically now it's looking like SmackDown got all the good tag teams, and Raw only got...
Raw is just now just to make, like, Braun, Roman, and Bobby look good.
Yeah.
Everybody... After the Authors of Pain debuted on Raw, they said, why can't they debut on SmackDown?
Mm-hmm.
Because then we could see what they could do with the New Day and the Usos.
Yeah.
And
I think they still need more development before that happens. They're a good team, but I think that...
They shouldn't have got rid of Ellering. That's the one.
That came down to him not wanting to travel.
No, I know Ellering shouldn't do, because we all don't even stay. He didn't want to travel full time.
Because you got to remember
his age.
NXT, the tapings are always at the same place.
Yeah.
With the exception of TakeOver.
Yeah.
So the constant travel.
He didn't want to do it. And Eller not the same spring chicken as he was back then.
With them, though, when they first came up, I can still remember like the clips online and everything where it's like, man, they're really, like, they're just hurting people. Like,
yeah,
I mean, seriously. Like,
well,
like when they were and then when they were having their matches with the Undisputed Era and they started showing their, like, It looked the matches that they had, it was very convincing how they were selling like everything that was going on, even though they were like this beast tag team, and that was like one of the more impressive things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so, in and of itself, Authors of Pain remind me of the Road Warriors.
They still need a mouthpiece.
They need a mouthpiece, though.
They need a mouthpiece.
Well, neither of them can talk on the mic.
No,
they're better than what I thought. But then they neither still could Hawk need, an like, animal. They still need like a Heyman like
Heyman guy
manager.
They need Paul Heyman.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
Why not?
If they do that, then they would be set. But yeah. I think that's a little too much. I think they're going to be a real big push for them in the regard of no mouthpiece, and they're just going to be a get the job done type mentality.
Yeah. They could just be like, I mean, it's rarely that they do this anymore, but just make them a non-talkative.
Yeah,
or like just don't.
God
talk
forbid.
At all.
I mean, how many stables did we have back in the
worked,
day that
they worked perfect? Yeah. It worked perfect for Kane back in the day.
Yeah. Before he dropped Paul Bearer.
Yeah. Honestly, I think Kane fell off when he started talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Well,
that's when he became a joke.
Yeah.
When they were having him do their skits with DX.
Yeah, when he teamed with DX.
Yeah, when he had the...
The voice box.
The voice box, that was...
Yeah.
But all in all, SmackDown totally lucked out.
Yeah.
They have...
We haven't even talked about Samoa Joe.
Let's get that.
Don't even start on Samoa Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it goes without question. I love Samoa Joe.
Well, I'll tell you exactly my opinion on why they moved Samoa Joe.
Roman.
It was because of Roman.
Yeah.
They want to push Roman. They can't push both. And
because they can't.
Roman would be overshadowed.
By Joe.
In every instance.
Yeah.
I mean,
was already.
Honest to
he
God,
was already.
If they switched, well, that's true. But if they switched people...
Mm-hmm.
It worked out so much better. I mean, you take exactly everything that they've done with Roman in the last year since he beat The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And put Samoa Joe there instead.
Oh,
how over
God.
Would that have went? Nobody likes Roman.
No.
Ruined Reigns is a joke.
Yes. And I personally like what Vince did to him. Screwed him over.
Here's a question. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear about who Vince McMahon is very high on,
yeah,
he loves blowing Roman. That's
Roman
must have like a fucking elephant dick.
Well, no, like,
like I mean, that's just that's got to be the thing. Like, he must love getting that gaping asshole pounded because seriously,
well, he is
like,
anyway. One of the names that got mentioned was it's like, why is Baron Corbin still getting pushed? And I said.
Oh yeah, I heard.
I would rather see Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin. I mean,
yeah,
I would too.
Like, that's not really saying much.
Yes and no.
Let me hear this.
Yes and no.
Testify.
Roman's been given the chance for 4 years and has made no improvement, in my opinion. Besides maybe slightly better mic skills. Corbin's not been given that opportunity anywhere near as much. Has he been given the opportunity? Yes. Did he get buried? Yes.
Yeah,
immensely.
But you're talking 4 years. 4.5 years.
And not getting the job done.
No.
And not being able to get anything accomplished, but yet we're still the big dog and Vince McMahon's, butt buddy. And nobody... In 4.5 years, nobody is... He is no more over than he was when he was in the Shield. He was more over when he was in the Shield.
Yeah.
Because, what they're trying to do is they're trying to, give him the same underdog story that they did Daniel Bryan, but with Roman, it's just
not going to work.
It's not
because everybody knows
they
he's...
need to make him the silent dickhead heel.
Yeah,
yeah.
I saw an old clip of
if Roman, he didn't talk, I'd like him a lot more.
Like I saw an old clip of Roman back in his NXT,
when he was the businessman.
And he was and he had a heel promo. Dude is great as a heel.
Yeah.
If you see it, it's a totally different person.
Yeah, because I saw it. It's
but Vince, for some reason, has a hard up for making one of his big men a babyface.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it doesn't work because there's Braun. But Braun made himself.
No, there's still Cena. Yeah. And that's the problem.
They want
Roman to be Cena, and it's never going to happen.
No.
Because Roman's not even a quarter of the charismatic as Cena is.
Yeah.
If they're adamant about it, though, as a long-term solution, it's because they keep going for the short-term solution. They're like, well, maybe the crowd will just get into him. Because it happened, once?
That's because the Shield reunited.
This isn't 1992.
Yeah.
But take what...
And even then.
But take what happened when... Take what happened to Nakamura. He turned heel, and it was awesome. The crowd fucking loves it.
Because if you go back and you watch anything he did in New Japan... Nakamura with his king style,
the king,
where he was going around with the big goofy crown and the whole nine yards, was a phenomenal heel. Because as it is, he's already fucking weird.
And then his feuds with Kota Ibushi.
Oh my god, that was great.
Yeah. Sorry, no speak English.
That was the greatest line delivered that entire evening. Yeah, no speak English.
No speak English. Like,
oh no.
No, he said English. Yeah. Like making sure that the L and R displacement was purposely there, just like out of, what was it, Lethal Weapon 2?
Yeah. Yes.
Poor Fry Lies. So it's like, It was perfect.
It was that along with his, I am very sorry about what I did to AJ Styles.
As he's sitting there blinking.
Yeah. He winks at the camera.
I wink at the clam.
Yeah.
It was amazing. He turned into one of the best heels in a week.
Yeah, he did.
Honestly.
Yes.
But that's the other issue too, is they've not really given him much camera time. Solo camera time. Yeah, because he's always with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe because they're still trying to test the waters with it.
Yeah.
So they need to test the waters with people like Roman.
They had enough time to test the waters. At this point, everyone's drowning in the lake at this point.
Yeah.
Well, then they just need to turn him heel and get it over with.
Yes.
But he's too good. He exudes his real character and how he is in real life. And it's really hard. I mean, they tried so hard to make him go heel with Roman, and everybody loved it. And then they tried to make him do whatever they did with that whole Elias and the cello skit. And that, at that point, there's like, you can't.
You mean with Strowman?
Combine that with his like surprisingly superb talent in the ring.
Yeah,
like you have a big guy like him doing like
anything.
You know, flips out of like wrist locks and like kick ups and drop kicks.
He went from somebody who couldn't take a back bump to like, where did this guy come from?
Yeah.
Plus he's huge.
Yeah.
Because like when he first started wrestling, and like when the couple of times that he was in the ring with Lesnar, and it was like Lesnar said, you gotta take a bump, and then eventually Lesnar just like hard way hit him.
Yeah. That's why I kind of respect Roman, because he made himself a star. Not even really trying.
No.
It's just, it's his natural
personality
and charisma that just wins you over.
It was all those Vine videos. Yeah. After people saw how he really was, they were like, this guy's awesome.
He's a goofball.
Yeah.
But dude,
did you see the video of him trying to blend meat and drink it?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes.
Yes.
Like, after that, I'm like, oh, even I love Braun Strowman.
Yeah, because he said, like, you know, I don't feel like cooking anything, so I'm just going to drink it.
Right. Yeah. That was great. That was a great video, and it showed. I mean, we all know, you know, kayfabe's dead.
Yes. Well, except for Kevin Owens. He'll
except
act like
for Kevin great. Owens and Sami Zayn and apparently Rusev.
Yeah.
But.
Bury me softly, Taker.
Oh, but yeah, I mean, Strowman.
Luckily, he got that match back. Thank God.
Yeah, if anybody doesn't follow Rusev on Twitter, do that. Do so.
Yes.
Oh, it's entertaining.
Yes.
Every time he posts something, it's the greatest.
Yes.
It's so ridiculous.
Here's a question. So, Daniel Bryan comes back from injury. Yeah. So what should we do? We should have him feud with a very green guy who uses a big boot as his finisher.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good job to me.
I mean, they want to, like, just put him back into the fold.
Big Cass just returned, and
why?
The first thing that they have him do is feud with Bryan.
Daniel Bryan.
I mean, we already know he's going to lose the feud, so it's not really going to kick anybody in the pants that much.
Let's
and
not
he has
be
to start somewhere.
Let's not be surprised.
Before we know
here.
Where we're going to build
Remember
up.
Remember his last feud?
No.
He's just trying to get the ring rust off of two guys.
Yeah.
Let's not be surprised here if they do something else with Big Cass, because they really like him, even though he's not that good.
Yeah. Why? But I just don't understand why.
I thought he was all right.
No.
He was all right, but the problem is there are a lot of all right wrestlers right now on the roster.
Yeah.
He's okay as a tag team guy.
But as a single
and
now.
his heel character came out more. I mean, his character came out more as a heel when he finally did the thing with Enzo.
Yeah.
But that died.
His
that's
wrestling
because he had a chance with that.
But his wrestling is not that high.
Yeah, we already saw the ACL injury.
He's a big man that can't move. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's no room for that anymore, because now you have guys like
Strowman,
Lashley, and Lesnar, and
he's not going to be hanging with those big dogs.
Especially Lashley.
Yeah.
Well, Lashley is another one that's just gifted in, you know, genetically speaking, though. If anybody seriously, wholeheartedly thinks he's not juicing, please swallow a bullet right now. Because seriously.
Yeah, dude's
that's not working out.
Dude's in his 40s. Dude's in his 40s, and he looks better than he did 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. But he looks better now than he did when he was in the UFC fighting as a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a better wrestler than he was 10 years ago, but he's
I'm not knocking his wrestling skills. No, we're not knocking
that. He's evolved ever since being an Impact.
Seeing the splitting with Nikki Bella.
That was sad, but at the same time, who didn't see
that? No, I'm sorry.
She broke John Cena.
There's nothing sad about this.
She broke John Cena's household number 26.
But at the same time, it's like you kind of expected this to happen.
How did she see the writing on the wall that she had to sign the consensual that listed her as a guest?
A 75-page contract. Like, come on.
Because Cena's on the road all the time and he wants to get his fun in.
But she was listed as a guest
on
the paperwork.
Yeah.
Here as for mentioned as guest.
Yeah.
Which means, I mean, not that I watch Total Divas. Like, but, I really could give a shit.
I've never watched Total Divas much.
But
honestly,
that's fucked up. And then he totally baited her.
That's worse than a prenup. Yeah, honest,
I just want to know why the hell did he propose last year if he was gonna do that?
It was a total bait. Yeah. He needed a meme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Daniel Bryan's happy. Cena's no longer my brother-in-law.
Yes. But still, well, they weren't married.
They weren't married.
It wasn't
but still, it was.
I mean, they were basically.
They're basically, I would say, just. I wouldn't even say friends.
Nah, she'll make out better. She's still young enough to be able to still have a kid. Cena clearly never wanted to get married or have a kid.
No.
There's always Ziggler.
She'll make out
Nikki
better.
Nikki will get back to Ziggler. Ziggler would totally crawl up inside.
Lord knows he was trying the last time.
What was all those, what was all those memes or whatever? Or
Ziggler
the,
about trying to cash in for Nikki.
Yeah.
That was great.
That one picture where he's, like, you know, like, really, like, pushing on the briefcase like now.
Yeah.
NXT call-ups. What was the biggest one?
Oh, what weren't the biggest ones? Honestly, Aubrey,
McIntyre.
Almas is
McIntyre
probably the
was surprising.
That shocked me because I didn't expect him to get called.
Almas is probably
one
the biggest in regards to the most deserving.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest as far as the most surprising would have to be McIntyre.
Yeah, because I didn't expect
that came through and I was just like, really? And anybody in that roster to pick and you go with McIntyre. And I'm not knocking McIntyre, but I mean,
why would
especially
you
if anybody to put him with was Ziggler?
Yeah, especially since he kind of didn't even get his rematch for the NXT title.
No, and he didn't get his revenge on Almas.
That too.
Because I thought, hey, if you were going to draft Almas, okay, where Almas goes, McIntyre was going to follow.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why they split them up. So if they have them in the same, it's like they're on the same show, so why don't they?
Yeah, then we got, let's ask this question I want to bring up. Sanity. Why was not Nikki Cross featured?
Well, I was just going to say this. That really.
I heard that the reason that she wasn't brought up with them is because they're going to have her feud with Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's title.
Okay.
That the other the thing reason. I've heard that's been floating around the windmill.
Yeah.
Is that there's something going on in the works, or at least there was a storyline that was suggested that involved a turn against Woken Hardy.
I heard about this too.
And that she was going to fall into the Lake of Rejuvenation and come back as Sister Abigail and have an whole angle with
what?
That.
What?
Oh, that's what you heard? I heard it was going to be the double turn from Wyatt, but he's going to be like the new leader.
But it was going to have to do
that's
with
what
Sister
I thought
Abigail.
That too.
She was going to essentially become the embodiment of Sister Abigail.
Well, I mean,
and then, that's and then Wyatt than was going to double turn and then end up either leading or being part of the staple of
Sanity.
I
Sister Abigail is something that really never needs to actually come to
it
life.
It needs to stop. I like the direction they're going right now.
I will say this, though. I do appreciate them doing all that because they're trying their hardest to keep kayfabe alive.
Yeah.
That's like,
at least finish
like
the storyline. How many storylines has there been where shit just drops off in the middle of nowhere? And you're
a
like,
lot.
Okay.
We're done.
Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt.
Right, exactly.
But you know
perfect
what?
Perfect example. That went nowhere and then it was just like, whoa.
That storyline needed to get shot in the head.
Oh, yeah.
It was bad.
It was only bad because of what they were, where the direction was leading to.
Yeah.
I'm fine with Nikki Cross being Sister Abigail way more than I would be.
I love her.
Wyatt Cross dresses.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. That was kind of funny.
It was a little funny.
Because I don't know if you guys have ever actually seen Wyatt in person. I saw him about 3 years ago. And he's huge. Like, I don't think it's really portrayed on television very well, but he's a big fucker.
Yeah.
And him cross-dressing just makes it funnier. I say we keep going with that shtick. Well, he's got... He keeps dressing the Sister Abigail. I'm sold on that.
Let's move this along.
Yeah.
So, Shinsuke Nakamura's current storyline of every single time he sees AJ, he has to hit him in the balls.
It's funny. That's all it is. It's funny. It's pandering.
Yes.
It's pandering to the crowd of people that just want to see AJ not be able to make any more children.
Maybe Nakamura just doesn't like the tattoos on AJ's side. He's like, no more kids for you!
So Nakamura just decided to become Bobby Hill, basically.
Were you on Facebook, though, that was like, it's being overdone? It's like, yes, that's the whole point.
I just said, it's so overdone, but then I showed that Bobby Hill video to make it funny.
Love how he hits him in the nuts.
That's funny.
He puts so much forced emphasis
in there.
And then on SmackDown, the look that he gave afterwards, where it was like the most sly... like sneaky bastard Asian look.
He straight up looked like a member out of the Yakuza. It was like, he's like, cuh, yeah.
It was like the euphoric trance Bubba goes into.
Yeah, same. So that's his look every 5 minutes.
So you're saying that Shinsuke got wood?
Probably
three times he's gotten wood.
I mean, he's not getting off on
you
it.
You see
it's
how
close.
He exited out the ring afterwards?
Yeah.
And then he bought back the whole, Shinsuke, why did you do it again? No speak. How does he say it again?
No speak English.
English.
I love if they're going that direction. I do too. It. Like, it's one thing just not like to just like have the fake interview and then just leave, but to just be that trollish about it is. Yeah.
Shinsuke should have always been a heel. I don't know why they even tried to do a baby push with him when he first came over.
His baby face feud with Samoa Joe was great in NXT. Yeah.
Well, because you cannot make Samoa Joe a baby face.
No.
Yeah. But you're right. Shinsuke's one of those guys that should be a heel.
Yes, he should.
It's like The Miz. Like, if they ever made Miz a baby face...
They've done it. It was bad.
I'm aware. I meant with what he's doing now.
Yeah.
If they ever decided Miz is a good guy because... he had a daughter, and life is beautiful, and he ends up becoming some sort of fucking tree-hugging hippie or something.
Oh, God.
Like, I totally see it.
His promo on Raw, though, like, afterwards, when he was talking about, like, when my baby saw it, like, you know, she cried, or he cried, and then, I'll say, I'm man enough, it made me cry. And then Rollins was like, yeah, people cry every single time they see you in the ring.
That was good. That was a good burn. That was a good burn.
That was a good burn.
Yeah.
It was a rib.
Rusev and Undertaker casket match.
So don't care.
And then being called
honestly,
off.
Honestly, I cared more when it was Jericho.
I cared so much more when it was Jericho.
I did too.
When they swinged it back to Rusev, I was like, really?
Well, it's not even the match itself. We could forget about that part. It was the storyline behind why it got changed.
Because fucking Michelle McCool thought Rusev was talking shit in an interview.
Which in actuality he wasn't.
No,
he wasn't.
It's just TMZ's fault, but they're trash anyway. Why would anybody listen to
that?
But it was the fact that one of the people backstage, and
they didn't like it.
They didn't even say who it was. They thought that Undertaker's feelings would be hurt.
And Undertaker was like, no, guys, I'm cool. Yeah.
And then Undertaker probably goes, I get the squash Rusev. Why do I give a shit?
Why do I care? Yeah. I'm going to put him in a casket.
I could totally see Rusev winning.
Really?
I mean, could. I'm not saying that it would. I would pick that. But I would not, that would be the one match out of the entire night where I would not be surprised if it went either way. Because right now, they need to legitimize Rusev in some way.
Because
they need to have a reason why his merchandise sales are so high.
Yes.
Like, seriously.
And it's not because of Aiden English.
No.
And maybe they're finally starting to realize that he has potential to be a good push somewhere. Yeah. And honestly, I know a lot of people... you know, blackballed it when it first happened, but I think the greatest thing they ever did was move Lana.
Yes.
They moved Lana?
Away from him,
yes. Basically. Dude, look what's happening. Yeah. He's...
Rusev, like, did you hear his pop when he came out yet on SmackDown?
His Rusev Day thing is huge.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. It was almost like Daniel Bryan level.
I just wish they would stop with Aiden English. He just annoys me, and now he's rapping, and it's even worse.
Yeah. I do like the rap part, though. I just think it's hilarious.
It is.
My issue is it's just a blatant...
It gets away from what works for him.
Yeah.
That's it. It's a waste of time when...
You're taking away from him, basically. Right.
Just because you're trying to find something to do with Aiden English. And, I mean, has anybody ever been impressed with Aiden English?
NXT.
Yeah. NXT.
It's not that bad.
But Vaude Villains was good.
Okay, we'll agree to disagree. They were okay.
All right, fair enough.
I like the gimmick more.
The gimmick.
That's it. Think about it. The gimmick was amusing. Yeah. Them coming out with the black and white and the gray, and they had the stupid old 1920s vaudevillain type scene. That was amusing. And then they wrestled, and I was like, fuck, they suck.
Yeah.
Simon Gotch was decent, though.
Simon Gotch was okay, but he pretty much...
Aiden does have a pretty sweet frog splash, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he's got one thing.
Well, of course he has to have a good frog splash, considering who he's married to.
Yeah, he's married to Shaw Guerrero.
Yeah. You're married to Eddie's daughter. You gotta learn how to do that.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta have something going for you besides singing, so.
Well, that's not getting him anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, it's gotten Rusev somewhere.
They ought to pair Aiden English with Elias.
Why haven't they done that?
Creative differences. Creative differences.
I think it would be, amusing.
That would probably even say that, too. Creative differences.
Why?
Eliza's music style?
It'd be great to throw them two together and see where that goes.
I'm just saying, Eliza's music style.
I'm still open to that, though.
Yeah, because I'm kind of curious, too, but I'm just saying the reason I think it won't work is because of creative differences, because Eliza's music style and Aiden's more classic.
Mm. Nobody owns their characters anymore.
I'm talking about on television.
Nobody owns their characters anymore. They'll make it happen.
Speaking of rights and everything, this isn't one of the topics that's listed, but how about the tattoo artist suing 2K Games? Randy Orton's tattoo design.
Right. Yeah.
Why did she wait so long to...
Because she needs money now, and it wasn't an issue before.
Yeah, she's not getting the money on the streets anymore, so she's got to sue somebody, and it just has to be Randy Orton. Yeah.
It was...
This reminds me of what your friend Joe said.
He talked about the Tyson tattoo and how that was like... that nothing really happened.
It's like,
with that.
Look, I understand you did the artwork, but now that it's on my skin and I paid for it, it's my...
Yeah.
Like it's not like CM Punk's tattoos where they have to take off the Pepsi and the Cobra Commander thing off.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean...
It's a tribal design.
Yes. Yeah.
Like...
It's universal.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that serious.
No. Because it's not like a brand.
First of all, if you're a professional tattoo artist that does work for famous people like Randy Orton, and you're struggling for money, what does that say about you?
You're desperate and you're a piece of shit? Sorry.
No. I mean, that's...
Or she wants her 15 minutes of fame.
That, too. Like, come on now.
That's all it is. Her... shop's probably not doing very well.
Yeah. Well, I was not positive.
And by this, a lot more people could be like, hey, this is the bitch that fucking tried to screw over Randy Orton. Let me go get a tattoo from her.
Yeah.
That makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah.
And now you just blackballed yourself from any more, like,
business.
Potential business.
Yeah, and then the clients.
Well, maybe she wasn't working anymore.
What else we got?
Ziggler and McIntyre as a group.
Nobody cares.
They have a nice double team.
It's Shawn Michaels and Diesel all over again.
Yeah, basically.
Nobody cares about either of them.
Yeah,
yeah, basically.
The only thing about McIntyre even being on Raw that I'm most excited for is the potential
3MB reunion. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, but here's what drives me crazy is McIntyre has the worst angry heel face I've ever seen.
Yes.
Yeah.
He needs to take lessons from Jinder.
He looks constipated.
Still the same.
He does. It's all those steroids. They're constipated. Him and Jinder need to figure that out together and eat more fiber.
Also, why do you stop using the Future Shock?
I have no idea. I do not care
for the Claymore.
Oh, I hate it.
The Claymore is stupid.
Yes.
It's a flying big boot.
That's
awesome.
Cool.
It's just the road kick with a stupider name.
Yes.
Like,
true.
So he's not going to do a Future
Shock. Yeah, but Riddle's awesome, so it's like, you know.
Jeff Hardy winning the U.S. title.
Stupid.
And then moving to SmackDown.
Stupider.
That's Monty's.
as opposed to Jinder holding the belt?
Chris is not listening to this.
Jinder holding the belt and dropping it to somebody that deserves it more.
So you're saying Jeff Hardy did not deserve to be a grand slam.
If you have to choose between the two and there wasn't other options out there.
Jinder drop it to somebody else.
So Jinder drop it back to Orton?
No.
Okay, so who would you prefer Jinder to drop it to?
That's not the question because that'll be easy. There's so many options.
Like,
there is. If you have to have Jinder or Jeff Hardy, who do you pick?
Jinder. Because he'll lose it in Saudi Arabia and it'll be hysterical and then maybe we'll stop this stupid fucking Indian thing he does when he's actually from fucking Canada and
from
half
Calgary,
Puerto Rican.
From Calgary, Alberta, India.
I don't mind Jeff winning the title because, I mean, it puts it on someone... I mean, come on. As far as
it's
like...
It's tired. Jeff is not Jeff 10 years ago. All right. They made him a Grand Slam. Great. awesome, cool. He should have dropped it at his last match.
The only thing that he
has... Carry it over, drop it to Lashley.
The only thing he has going for
that's
him,
that's what
though,
he should have done. If that's what we were trying to do, then that's what he should have done. Because why did we fight so damn long to bring over the broken, woken fucking gimmick and to have them separated?
Yeah.
Everybody's been pandering and pissing and moaning for this for fucking ever, and it finally happens, and now we separate. It's like all that fucking jerking off each
for
other
nothing.
For this whole time was for nothing.
I guess they just wanted. I guess they're really invested into this.
They
whole
feel that
thing.
They feel that Jeff is better on his own
because it's
that,
true.
Because yeah. he is. That he's a better wrestler than Matt, but Matt has a better gimmick.
Yes.
Yeah.
But as far as them staying,
nobody gives a shit about Brother Nero. Continue, sorry.
But as far as
you have a point.
But as far as them being together, that they need to put them on both brands because I mean, Matt's doing his thing with
Bray,
and then Jeff can do what he's doing. I mean, Jeff's
there's a possibility Jeff will drop
least,
that title to Orton because Orton is still guaranteed his title shot.
Orton only had that title just to
get Grand Slam,
that and just to have a like shock value of Jinder winning.
Yeah.
Well, no. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, but no, I mean, I feel like.
You didn't see the look in Orton's eyes literally when Jeff came out and stole it. Like,
you know who needs it?
Oh, they'll probably feud.
You yeah. know who needs it right now? Rusev.
Yes. That's definitely who
needs
that's,
it. That's
who I would have it dropped
they
to.
They had the opportunity.
I know, and they gave it to Jinder instead, which made no fucking sense to me.
Of course it didn't. Like, because they're doing everything. Cause,
but have him lose it in Saudi Arabia.
But something that you were mentioning earlier is they need to realize how much money they're making with Rusev. They don't
care.
This is the thing. They see what they're doing with him right now, and it's making them lots of money.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm well aware of this.
So they're seeing how long they could stretch it out until people go, okay, this...
Legitimize your investment, and you'll make more money off of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then
and by not giving him a title and having Jinder win it instead was mind-boggling.
Yes.
And then we're going to do this stupid match with The Undertaker. Like, again, I know we just discussed it. Who cares? Like, out of any of the matches that are booked right now, I could give a flying rat's ass
just look at
about
his, just
about
look at
old ass Undertaker that needs to retire.
Yes.
And I'm talking
the
about...
pay-per-view as a whole, though, doesn't make any sense.
It's simply just to sell out the
Saudi Arabia.
It's all to get the Indian
market.
That's
and don't even bother... You know what? Don't even bother publicizing it in the United States, because who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
We just got done bombing Syria, didn't we? I mean,
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I mean, no, you have a point.
I think that a lot of the
it's
stuff
like,
they're doing,
it's like Starrcade. Like, you didn't make that like a fucking
oh my god
televised event.
That is the last time we're going to mention that because that was an abomination.
Yeah,
Starrcade was the greatest thing that ever happened to WCW in existence,
and WWE managed to shit on it entirely.
Yeah,
and
turned it into a house show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's more disrespectful.
Oh, that was more disrespectful.
It was funny.
Billy Graham, or Superstar Billy Graham online, criticizing Ronda Rousey's use of Roddy Piper's whole persona.
I don't know.
He's right to a degree.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, like, why is everyone flipping their shit?
Roddy gave it to her.
Yeah,
no, he didn't. His kids did.
No, Roddy.
Roddy gave
her
before he
like,
passed.
Really close,
no, Piper said that he was fine with her. Her using his character was back in the UFC days.
I'm aware of that, but what I meant by that is the whole, like, her getting the okay and getting the jacket and wearing it. Like, I don't know. My personal feeling is by having her getting this whole rowdy...
It takes away from her actual identity?
Well, I mean, it's a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
When she needs to be...
herself?
Legitimized.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's not. Because everybody's like, oh, yeah... Here comes Ronda Rousey in a kilt that really just smuts her up. Then nobody really cares about anyway. But
that's
it's, you know...
You gotta think...
Roddy Piper gave her the okay, and his family gave her the okay. So that must make her something, right?
You gotta think, though, that if anything else, that they're trying to get her... They're trying to separate her UFC history just so
why?
They don't, like... That's...
Why?
Because they're stupid.
Why? Up until... Holly Holmes fucking decimated her. She was the hottest thing in UFC.
Yeah.
Why, if you're bringing her over and you're using her real name, would you not want to use the fact that she was in UFC, that makes no sense whatsoever. Like, who doesn't know that? Yeah. It's not like you're taking a nobody who fought two fights and lost both, and you're bringing them into UFC. You're talking about a person that had held the title for years. And you're going to give her a dumbass gimmick that's already been used once.
It's a lot more...
not that... I want to clarify that real quick. Not that I'm saying Roddy Piper's gimmick is dumb.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
What I mean is
you're
that
Ronda.
You're going to take something of a man that was a legend.
Yes.
And try to use that as a mask to cover up the fact that she's a UFC fighter.
Yeah.
But yet, we make it clear every fucking time she's on the mic. Also, God, I hate her mic skills. Like, she really needs to have somebody.
She has none.
She really needs
that's
to have
really
talk for her.
My issue. She just needs to
one of the things that
put her with Natalya.
That I think that's what they're doing, right?
I think that's what they're doing.
We'll see. I see a heel turn coming.
From who?
Natalya?
Well, I mean, I guess Natalya's already.
Somebody
is. You know what I mean? No. Turning on Rowdy.
Somebody
Rowdy.
Online was saying that the whole idea that they should go for is that because they said, "Oh, they
a
were
lesbian couple."
Well, besides that,
no, besides that.
Ronda on top of Stephanie was like very.
Best picture I saw of the whole thing was when Triple H had her up and she had that O face. That was good. That was good.
But it was just the whole thing of like Stephanie being on the ground going like, please, no. And you got this person who like comes across as like the bossy bitch and all of a sudden she's like, oh God, please don't kill me. And her tits are about ready to pop out.
Her big tits.
Wouldn't be the first time. Surely wouldn't be the last.
Triple H is going for the pedigree as Stephanie is trying to tuck herself back in.
Yeah.
I will... You did change my opinion. I kind of do agree with you now, looking from your outside perspective.
It's the only perspective, but go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, I didn't really mind it as much for using the gimmick like that, because I was just like, alright, whatever. And maybe because I'm a fucking Roddy Piper Mark too on top of that, but like...
Who isn't
a Piper Mark?
Anybody that grew up in that era.
But at the same time, I do what you get. Now that I'm thinking, like, the gimmick, just using the gimmick alone will probably hurt her in the long run.
Yeah.
It's not the whole...
Yeah, no, I actually gotta agree with him too. He's right.
But it's the fact that it's
change your mind.
It's just the it's like the outfit and everything else. But as far as a personality goes, like, you know, she's coming out. She's all like happy.
It's like, you know what it's like. It's like taking a creator wrestler and then copying over a wrestler's entrance and music. And stuff.
Yeah.
Well, one of the biggest issues outside of there's a lot of them. She needs to change her theme.
Well, then hell, that's exactly what Hogan did. Superstar Billy Graham.
Yeah.
Just steals entire fucking gimmick and then don't give the man any credit.
Holy stole everything.
But it's when Ronda comes out and she's all like, hi guys, and high five and everything. It's like, okay, now I'm going to turn into a badass. You don't see smiling Brock Lesnar come out and then all of a sudden he beats somebody's ass.
You know what would be an interesting angle? She's psychotic.
Oh.
Okay,
like
so
AJ Lee psychotic or Corporate Kane slash Demon Kane?
Or Mickey James.
No, Mickey James psychotic.
Mickey James psychotic was so good.
Mm-hmm.
But then who would she feud with?
Natalya.
I can't really see Ronda Rousey obsessing over Natalya.
No.
Why not? Just do it anywhere.
Fair enough.
They were friends. She taught her. She developed some sort of weird connection with her. And now she's out of her fucking mind.
She's like,
she's ripping people's arms off.
She's like,
sisters.
She's like, Natalya, we're very good friends. We're BFFs.
Actually, I would love that.
Natalya had a crazy gimmick.
That would be great.
You're like, you know what? That's
that would really embed her into wrestling to where people would go, now I can take you serious. And that's my entire point to this is who can seriously sit here with what little bit she's done with the gimmick that she's using. Like, she's not even come up with her own gimmick. And we want to take her serious. Like, to me, I'm still waiting for the other foot to drop and go, oh, this was all a big ploy. I'm actually going back to UFC.
The only thing I can't stand with her is that one weird throw that she does.
Yeah, that botch throw, Stephanie.
The Kumudo Kara is what it's called.
Guess what's
and cool. it's a joke. She doesn't even do it right, and she's supposed to be a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Well, I mean, she is a black belt in Brazilian
Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah,
but she messed up that throw.
But,
like I said, I don't know who judo. Messed the throw up, either her or Stephanie. Who really
oh, no.
Every
she
time,
botched
every,
that fucking
every time
throw.
Every time that Ronda's
at first
done
I wanted
it.
To give it to Stephanie, but when she did it, like, more than twice the same
no,
way.
No, she did it. She did it, like, three or four times, and every time it's looked
it's
weird.
Bad. Because then I looked at it again.
I'd rather
guess,
just do it.
Ross
well,
is the one
because,
who messed it up.
Because it's a real thing, and it could hurt people, and there's no good way to set somebody down with something like that, exactly. And yet they try, and it just looks like trash.
Yeah.
It was like that weird undercut she did with Sonya, mm-hmm. where she did that half tackle undercut with the lockup of her leg, and it just looked bad. Like, do it all the way, which she didn't, or don't do it at all. And that's part of my issue is we want to legitimize her and stop bringing up the UFC background, yet all the crap she used to do in UFC, she's doing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather just replace...
I'm not on train for this nonsense, by the way. I'm really not feeling Ronda, which is a shame because I loved her in UFC. It's just,
I think we all loved her in UFC. It's just what you got to do.
Like, let the little girl get to pick her flowers and let her think she's a little princess. And that's all it is. It's catering.
Yeah.
That's all this is catering. She's a big name. And it's just like she's getting the exact same treatment like Brock. Asshole Triple H would get because, you know, he needs to have a 45 fucking minute match even though he's not even a good mid-carder. And the only reason why he's got half the accomplishments he did is because he's fucked Stephanie.
Yeah, Is he a 4 out of 10?
I wouldn't even give him a 4 out of 10 over half his matches.
So you'll be even harsher than Bret Hart?
I'll be honest, I've only seen one or two good Triple H matches.
Him versus The Rock?
Not even him versus The Rock.
That was only good because of The Rock.
Yeah.
What about his...
I wouldn't say Austin, because Austin was the one who was dictating most of the match anyway.
I would say 27 and 28 WrestleMania is the only two good matches I've ever seen.
Bullshit.
What about his Rumble match with Foley?
Because it was Foley.
That was Foley.
Go back and watch that match. That was Foley.
More Foley, and if you want to say Taker the first time in 01, that was more Taker.
That was probably a better match that he did more work in than against Foley. Foley had to take a lot.
So you're trying to say,
there,
I'm talking about Triple H and Undertaker's very, very first encounter at WrestleMania before, where everybody likes to talk about the other two.
His WrestleMania 17 match.
That's what I'm talking about. His WrestleMania 17
match. That was...
Oh, yeah, he did fight Triple H.
Yeah, that's where everybody forgets. Everybody say, hey, people, watch WrestleMania 17.
There's a good reason why it's being forgotten. Because it's Triple H.
I'm about to say, you did not like that match between those two.
I just don't like Triple H.
I can understand you don't like
Triple
H.
I have a huge issue with a guy who's fucking the boss's daughter, and then we're going to take 45 minutes up of my life to make me watch some asshole who isn't a good mid-carder wrestle against somebody like Kurt Angle.
I'm just saying, what Triple H has done, yeah, I'll bid, okay, I'll understand.
Who would you take, Triple H or Jinder Mahal?
Oh, Jinder Mahal, probably.
Take Triple H.
I really cannot stand Triple H.
You know what?
Like, he is a corporate puppet.
Hands down.
I'm saying that's a given, but what I mean is like, he's the epitome of a corporate puppet.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
Everything
that is
wrong with WWE is because Triple H exists.
Well, I mean, not NXT.
But if Triple H didn't exist, then
NXT
we wouldn't have
great.
NXT.
Can we...
And is he even really doing a good job with that? I mean, let's be fair.
He fixed 205. Look how it was back then.
That too.
205 was the shit, and I didn't want to watch anymore.
All the people that came up from NXT have been because of their own potential.
That is also true.
Yes.
So you cannot tell me that Triple H and his accolades have brought up NXT to a higher level than they already are.
Because
you have shit wrestlers and you have really good wrestlers.
If anything, I would say Regal.
Okay, here's the question, though. Out of the, because somebody was mentioning this, like, a while ago, was NXT's, you know, like, all their really good matches come from people that already had experience. Who out of the NXT-grown stars are, like, really good?
Are we talking about right now in NXT?
NXT-grown stars?
Just in general.
Velveteen,
absolutely.
Okay. Velveteen, I'd go. Adam Cole.
Yeah, but Cole was already in ROH.
You just said NXT.
I mean, from
Performance
Center. Oh, yeah. Okay. I got you. Never mind. All right,
we'll throw Adam Cole out because he. Right. Adam Cole started.
I got what you mean now.
Now I got it. Velveteen Dream, yes.
And that's it.
Has there been any other homegrown?
I mean, everybody like Almas and everybody else have had previous runs, previous
places. Almas was like big in Mexico, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm saying. Is that, well, I don't know if he was with Lucha Underground, but I know he was with
Big
with Cass Conan.
And Enzo. Mm.
That worked out well.
Oh, that worked out
well. I'm
trying
to think back to the original NXT roster. Who's still here?
Okay.
Bray Wyatt?
Bray Wyatt, I think.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt.
He didn't wrestle before then.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan.
No, Bryan wrestled before that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Bryan was at ROH. I take that back.
Yeah, Wyatt.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt.
Wyatt.
What about Bateman? Or EC3, I'm sorry. Could you count
him? I can't stand him.
I've never liked him, to be honest with you. I can't.
I don't think he's an okay wrestler. But the problem
he
is...
He can't wrestle still.
Well, he got overshadowed by Lashley.
Yeah.
They had that whole run with him and Lashley, and it was just him, Lashley, and Del Rio.
Yeah.
And it was a joke. And when you get overshadowed by Del Rio...
That's bad.
I'm just saying, everybody's like, E3, and I'm like, Del Rio is better.
Yes!
But, yeah.
How was Del Rio before his first WWE run?
I couldn't tell you.
I couldn't either.
Yeah, because he was supposed to be a good wrestler, and then it was like, okay.
He was, and they started fucking Paige. And
we all saw what happened there. Look where
literally
he's at now.
We saw it happen. Yeah. Well, for Paige.
Yes. And where is he now? Fired again.
I just feel bad for Xavier Woods. When your ex side piece is now your boss.
We all know we're waiting for that moment. Come on, dude.
They have to have that awkward.
Come on.
If they don't do that,
but we all want that.
Of course I want that.
We all want that moment.
I want that moment so bad.
We all want that moment.
Just to see, because they've been teasing it before.
Yeah.
I can't believe they cut out the Wally rap battle, because that part with the Usos was legendary.
Yes. We're all waiting for that. When they meet up.
What is Bobby Lashley going to use as his finisher? Here's a question. Okay. What should he use as his finisher?
We talked about this. I said I wouldn't like him to use to do the
shell shock.
Yes. At least he don't have to march around the ring.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with the march? That's what makes it. Otherwise, it's just a move. It's a move from Lesnar.
I feel like it would be awkward because of his long ass legs.
You should do the super kick.
To Lashley?
Okay,
what would they call it? Just call it the super kick?
We got
Super Lashley Steroid 5000.
Okay. Oh, man.
I want to hear Michael Cole call that.
Oh, because he'd probably botch it.
Vintage Lashley.
Yeah, he'd botch it.
What do you think he should do?
Oh, man, that's a tough one right there.
I'm trying to think of, like, all...
The Frankensteiner.
Frankensteiner? Oh my god.
Why not?
Fucking snap somebody's neck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Steiner about just as roided up. Why wouldn't it work?
Scott Steiner can still do it for Frankenstein.
I know.
His age.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're both roid rage buddies. Yeah. I mean.
Just don't call it Hurricane Rana in front of them.
They should have like the Benoit staple with Steiner and Lashley.
Yeah.
And then just throw in Lesnar and.
Wasn't
like
another
the roid rage trio?
Wasn't another move that you said or we were talking about was since he used the Anaconda Vice, he should use the GTS.
Oh yeah!
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Because we all know that Tommy's not going to do it anymore.
No,
unless he leaves WWE.
He could do the I was going to say the Lumblower or the Gut Check or whatever. Not the Lumbar Check, but the one that Darren Young would do.
I'm just picturing Lashley doing the lumbar check to somebody.
Yeah.
Killing them.
You think people oversell it now.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like our newest member of 205 Live. He could be like the Samoa Joe of the division.
The abdominal stretch. Just rip him in half.
Yeah.
Or the Ezekiel Jackson torture rack.
Which is just like the other torture rack.
Or the Lex Luger.
Yeah, what Luger did.
That could work for him, too.
Actually, I think he did it better than Luger did.
You really think so?
Yeah, because Luger was lazy.
Luger sucked.
Well, Lashley is already doing a torture rack. He's doing it to, like, that backbreaker that he does.
Yeah. I say let him do a spine buster or a brain buster.
Okay.
At least you'd be legitimate.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a question.
Or like a lifting DDT.
Yeah, sure.
What's a move that will look absurd for him to do? And not something like a 450 or whatever.
Sunset flip.
A Superman punch. Because it might actually be legitimate. Because when Roman does it, you're like, man, that was a pretty shitty punch. But when Lashley does it.
When Black Lesnar.
Yeah, when Black Lesnar does it, then...
No, for real. If you search Black Lesnar up on Google,
Lashley's got to show up.
Who was the other person that was being called? Wasn't Big E being called Chalk Lesnar?
Chalk Lesnar.
Oh my god, that'd be good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Superman punch.
Yeah. Him and Roman can trade off. sit there and just Superman punch each other in the face like
I
a
would
weird
be charge of his Superman punch.
Like
though.
A weird emasculating, you know,
they both hit each
jerk
other
off competition.
They both hit each other at the same time we have a double KO.
Alright, what else we got?
Balor Club for everyone.
No. I mean
I'm just upset with this.
I don't
We just started the Balor Club and now we're back to the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Like, why does it have
the LGBT
and again,
club?
I want to stay for the record. Jesus Christ. I have no problem with it. I'm fine with it. I accept it.
But why did they pick Balor?
Yeah, but why Balor and why does it have to be?
Because he's
a straight up metrosexual, and I could totally be surprised. I would not be surprised if he was gay. He comes out and he's like, "Hey guys,
it's Finn Balor's and his stupid smile."
Yep. That's exactly what it is.
Probably is.
Because it's power, half deviant
and
half
popping.
It's half deviant side. And half, oh, I like his ass. That's what that smile is. He's like, his ass is up. That's nice. Of course, I'm kidding. But you know what, though? He's very laid back and...
They probably threw the idea to him and he was like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, more
well,
likely.
You're not gonna let me be the demon anymore.
Triple
basically.
H cared more about not doing it than.
Oh my God, we need to have like a unicorn demon where he comes out with like gay rights demon.
Oh my
the
Lord,
gay rights demon.
Oh
gay
my God, demon.
Is he gonna be crawling on the ground?
Oh yes, with a butt plug and everything.
He's gonna be galloping.
he's gonna have the unicorn hands. It's gonna become my little brony.
So
my Lord, what?
Wait. Why doesn't... Yeah, exactly. Why doesn't he do that?
I would be a lot funnier than the stupid shit they're doing right now with it.
What would his... What would the coup de grace be called? If he was a unicorn Balor.
Well, he can't use the...
Stomp that bitch.
Can't use unicorn stomp because New Day's already...
New Day owns that. Well, not actually, unicorn stampede.
Should just call pitching the tent.
Pitching the tent. Okay, Balor's going up for the pitching the tent.
Exactly.
God, I'd like to hear Michael Cole say
that. No, I want to hear Corey Graves call it.
My God.
No. Mauro Ranallo.
Oh, my God.
He pitched the tent through the goddamn table.
Mamma mia.
I want to hear JR call it.
I can't even imagine how JR.
I can.
I can't.
It's going through my mind right now.
Oh,
oh my God! With the hanging lip thing.
Oh.
It's horrible because he's got palsy, but
yeah.
I'm making a joke out of it. It's fine. It'll be all right. Somebody's got to be the bad guy today. So I'm
all right. Hey, WWE makes fun of Jim Ross all the time. So.
Yeah.
I know. Every time they don't let him talk, they make fun of him.
Yes.
What else we got?
That's it.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. Mm. What?
Yeah, that was it.
I feel like we could go on for more.
Well, we could talk a little bit more. We could talk about how Dave was actually cleared this week, but he'll be back next week because we told him to take a break.
Yep.
So,
yeah, we don't want him dying on us.
Yeah.
You want to call Drew Marty Jenny?
I can't.
He blocked you?
I don't know if he blocked me specifically, but I came and called him.
Oh my God!
Why don't we call
Sheik?
Why don't we call George?
I don't want to call George.
Who wants to call
Who
George?
Wants to call
Nobody
George.
Wants to call George.
George, the Oracle of Wrestling.
Who, if he's listening, can't even be bothered in the thousands of different wrestling groups he's part of on Facebook.
Yeah.
Can't even advertise this damn thing. Thanks, George.
Bastard. Well, some of us were thinking it.
And for some reason, who's someone who's so deeply invested in wrestling, does not have a favorite show, does not have a favorite wrestler, does not have a favorite anything related to wrestling.
He likes pepperoni pizza and a Blue Meanie.
That's literally all we got.
Who?
George.
Oh, George wants to be the next Blue Meanie.
Pepperoni pizza and a Blue Meanie.
He likes pepperoni penis, too.
He likes pepperoni penises. He's part of the Balor Club. So one of the things that we were talking about with George, and this is going to be a topic that we get back to over and over again, Raw 25 or whatever it was when he went to New York for the show.
Yeah,
and we said, George, you're not a fan of. I mean, you have no.
Like,
he said, I want to go back for the memories, and he said, for what memories?
You don't have
any favorite memories, and that's why he just didn't have anything to say. So we were like,
yeah
that
George's
that was
love for wrestling is a very convoluted and contradictory.
We're gonna call that the abortion episode because it just never happened. Yeah. We got like through an hour and a half episode or something, and then we just have to erase it because it was just us.
It was literally one word answers from George all night.
Oh God.
Yeah. But keep posting stuff on Facebook, George. You know you're good for that. Yeah. And saying pretty much all the time.
Yeah. Oh my God, you noticed that too?
Pretty much. No, I said every single time you should say hashtag pretty much. George will be the pretty much guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Speaking of social media, yes, we have the Inzaguri on Pro Wrestling Discussions on Facebook. We have our SoundCloud. If you're listening to this, then you know where it's at. Our Twitter account. What else do we have? I don't know. I should know. Dave set up, or DB, I'm sorry. He set up an Instagram account. I don't think we actually have anything on there, along with a few other things, and our YouTube channel that has Fortnite videos. I'm sorry.
Damn your Fortnite obsession.
Hey, I'm okay. I'm not playing it now.
Better. Mine's probably
although my PS4 is on standby, so when you guys leave, I'm just going to turn it on.
Yeah, that's what I know. By the time I get home, you're going to be playing Fortnite.
Yeah, because he wants to see the comment.
Are you going to make it home?
Yes, I will make it home.
Are you sure?
Yes, I will let you guys know. I will message you.
Walker, we love you.
Wait. So you're not going to call the guy up to reinflate. You're just going to be like, fuck, I'm just going to go.
I'm going to go home, then tomorrow I'm going to get a new tire.
And a new rim.
Do me a favor.
What?
FaceTime this.
Yes, it's going to be the flat tire ride-along.
Oh my God! I have not got a video.
Dude, you have to do that.
Yeah, do the flat tire ride-along. Talk about wrestling while you're driving on a flat tire for 10 miles.
Oh, Lord. I probably might have the Philly game on. Right now, Flyers are pissing me off right now. They're down 4-0. I don't want to know what else.
They're even further by now. We've been at this for an hour.
Yeah, that's why I left my phone in the car. Because I didn't want to hear it go off. Because I knew it was getting even worse.
So if anybody has any questions for the ones that are listening, send it to us through our Facebook page. Exactly, yeah. Join our Facebook page.
Or comment on here,
because there is a comment section. I keep forgetting about that part. Thank you for mentioning that. This guy over here is awesome. Like, our last couple shows have actually been probably our two best ones.
Like I said in the last two shows, we appreciate everything our man Monty's been doing.
Mm-hmm. You guys are welcome.
So
this guy is the man with the plan. He is our Paul Heyman.
He's the advocate. He's like, I love the look on your face. You're like, better be more than that. I'm not a cheap Jew.
All right.
He doesn't owe his money.
He doesn't bounce checks. So next week we should have Dave back on for DB. Sorry, DB. I should just go by Dave. Whatever. Everybody knows you by now.
DP.
DB Richards.
DB Richards.
Go eat some red meat. All right. That's it for this week. This is Fran and
JCL. And
DRS.
Haystack Hastings.
All right.
See you next everybody.
Week. Night. And pay up. You got till midnight.